especially verses about the bones, a lot of verses in Proverbs. And then all these medical doctors, and a lot of these medical doctors were not saved, from Mayo Clinic, from different great medical institutions and so forth, just talking about, of course we understand a lot of our physical problems or our physical makeup is hereditary, and then they say it's diet and then exercise and then environmental, and we understand that. When we took my mother to Tijuana to get special treatments for her cancer, and we, the doctor explained, you know, there's hereditary, and then there's chemicals and the environment, and you know, and then the diet and all that stuff. But this message was really about our attitude and being negative, and actually, it's a lot about gossiping and just being a murmurer and all the negative things that contribute to bad health. Okay? And the Bible says envy is the rottenness of the bones. It affects our health. It affects our bones. I'm not going to go into this morning or tonight like I did this morning. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 4. Envying affects our health. Proverbs 27, verse number 4. We just read in Galatians 5, envying really is a byproduct of not walking in the Spirit. We saw there in Proverbs 14, that it affects our body. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 4. Wrath is cruel and anger outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Envy. To overcome envy is to, please get this, is to undergo a heart change. Please get this. Envy is a heart problem. You must first recognize how envy has depleted your heart of love for God and love for others, and then take the proper biblical steps to overcome and resolve this heart condition. Let me say number one. In order to overcome envy, identify the subject of your envy. Please get this. Come up here, George, please. By the way, George is a fantastic guy. How old are you, George? 17. Are you ready to get married? Okay, I didn't think so. When you envy, envy is specific. You envy somebody. By the way, we don't usually call it envy, but you'll catch this in just a minute, okay? I'll brought you up. Go ahead and have a seat. You were sleeping on the front row. I just want to make, no, just, it's specific. It's specific. Probably somebody's been envying him. Identify the subject of your envy. Envy is directed towards individuals. It focuses on people who have talents, abilities, attributes, or things that you feel you must have in order to be happy or receive approval. And I'm gonna make a little statement here. The lights are gonna go on. There's one statement I'm gonna give you in just a minute. It's the whole sermon on how you can really detect if you have envy. Feel you must have in order to be happy or receive approval and recognition. Envy produces competition. When an envious person hears others praised, he experiences inward pain and resentment. So how can you tell if you have envy? Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're at church. Maybe you're on the playground. Maybe you're in a school classroom. Okay? Maybe it's an awards ceremony. When an envious person hears others praised, and specifically, often it's an other or a couple others, he experiences inward pain and resentment, which only deepens his envy. Who are you envious towards? Number two, I'll give this illustration later. Number two, choose to make others successful. Choose to make others successful. Look, if we don't deal with these stresses, we're going to just have chronic spiritual problems, chronic emotional problems, and then chronic soul or mental and physical problems. You got to deal with it. I'll just give you one story. It's not necessarily envy, but it is sort of. It's a little bit envy and bitterness. There's a man, and this man, his wife, he divorced him, and then he was I don't know what you call it, had spousal and child support. By the way, men, there's a lot of reasons to stay married. One reason is so that your ex-wife doesn't take you to lunch. Okay, and I don't mean the lunch over at Sophie's. Okay, all she has to do is get one good divorce attorney, and you're going to be in a poorhouse for a long time. And I know some of you guys, don't give her any ideas. You be a good husband, she won't be tempted to do that. But so... what happened is, this guy, actually what he did, he was having chronic back problems. And he went to this doctor, and I told you about the DVD, and it was one of these DVDs, is on this DVD, it's one of the stories. And the doctor, he said, okay, well, tell us, when the injury happened? And he started talking about it, and he did some tests on him. He said, you don't really have a back problem. He said, what? He said, you know, can I ask you a couple questions about your life? He said, sure. He said, when did the back problem start? By the way, when you counsel people, let me say number one, and by the way, we don't have a bunch of doctor lawyers around here, so don't go counseling everybody. But one of the things you have to do, because most time when you counsel people, when they come for counsel, they say, oh, life is over, and it's just a whole bunch of problems. And it seems like, oh, man, where do I start? You always start with the worst. So you say, what is the worst thing that has happened to you, or what is it? What's the big one? And then you go from there. And he said, when do you think this injury happened? And he found out what it was. And he said, when did this really start giving you a problem? And he went on to say, you know, I guess when he was served the papers, and he said, man, I've served these papers, and I think spouse support and child support. Now I can't remember, but he says it's way too much. By the way, if you just stay married, you don't have to worry about that. Okay, and this doctor is a Christian, and he said, you know what your back problem is? It's because you're bitter. He said, man, bitterness doesn't have anything to do with my back. He said, you are bitter, and that's causing you your back problems. And he went on to explain some different things. And if I had the DVD in front of me and took all the notes, I can give you the details, but I don't. And I didn't take detailed notes. But here's what he said, and here's the point, this whole thing with envy. Envy, you can't just say, oh, I'm going to quit being envious. You have to take some proper steps. And this is what the doctor said. He said, you know what you need to do? He said, number one, you need to forgive. Because you're bitter, towards your wife. Okay, he didn't give all the details why they're divorced and all that. He said you're bitter towards your wife. But he said number two, what you need to do, he said you need to increase the spousal and child support. He said, man, I'm upset because it's too much. He said increase it. He said increase it anything, but you increase it. He said, go the second mile according. Jesus said, go the second mile. He said, I'll have to think about this one. And this guy thought about it. He says, if you want healing, he said, what you need to do is you need to put this thing in God's hands. And to put things in God's hands, you got to go the second mile. And so he made the decision. He says, okay, I'm going to increase this, all this child support and all this spouse support. I'll increase it. I don't know if he increased a penny or a nickel or what. He increased it. Healed. By the way, this book and some of this, these are not charismatic people. Okay? So don't think, oh, a bunch of hocus pocus. God has so created us to live in sync with his principles. And if we don't, we're going to face the consequences. The same thing with envy. Envy, you got to do something about it. So number one, identify the subject of your envy. Number two, choose to make others successful. A true servant of God is one that seeks to make others successful. Luke 22:24-26. And there was also a strife among themselves, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings, this is Jesus speaking, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. How many have an older brother? Raise your hand, older brother. How many would say, there was a time in my life, and it might even be now, my older brother sort of pushed me around a little bit. Raise your hand. Okay, sure, of course. My brother here, no, he's not here. My brother was the Gestapo when he was 10 years old. He ran the show. My brother would say, he ran the show. We had babysitters. He ran every babysitter off. He ran them off. He'd run the babysitters. Okay? What's he saying? He's saying, listen, ye shall not be so, but ye that great, he said, you're supposed to be like the younger. Okay? But greatest among you, let him be as the younger. What's the younger? The younger ones, all right, big brother, what do you want me to do? And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. So if you want to overcome envy, first of all, you gotta pinpoint the person you're envying, and you gotta see that emotional. It's like almost like there's an energy drain when you find out, you know, maybe in school and you're in a classroom. It's like, man, there's a. By the way, let me say this: there are teachers' pets. They're not supposed to be teachers' pets, but human nature always finds us teachers' pets. How many of you out there were, I remember Boys Foods, I was teacher's pet. I had Mrs. Cranebuehl fooled. Ninth grade, it was in Lindbergh. That's when we had, actually it was high school credits, but went up to ninth grade. Mrs. Cranebuehl, anybody go to Lindbergh? Who went to Lindbergh? Did you have Mrs. Cranebuehl? Did you know who, remember her? Did you have Boys Foods too? With your hairdo? Yeah, bouffant hairdo, whatever that is. Yeah. We had her fooled. Mike Brown, Buddy Beam, and Joe, we were all small. Buddy Beam was this tall. Mike Brown was this tall. And then I was the giant of the bunch. I'll never forget, we'd go in there, and kids would be cutting up. And she'd say, okay. And we have hot cocoa and biscuits. We'd make the biscuits. And then she'd say, everybody get out your books. Joe, Buddy, and Mike, you can cook. If you remember, there's a little kitchen, you got your little table, and we go there, we'd cook, and we just sort of, hi guys. Okay. Do you think those guys were envying us? Okay. So there's always going to be an unfair situation where we have an opportunity to envy or a greater temptation. But let me say this. For some of us, it might just be a situation where really there's no unfairness. We're just in the flesh, and we envy. Okay. Choose to make others successful. Envy is born out of a desire for greatness and for the approval that comes from doing great works. Jesus never condemned the desire to be great. Please get this. He just tells us that the way to get there is to serve others. Greatness is not putting your name up there. Greatness is not getting another degree. Greatness is not promoting yourself. Jesus said greatness is serving others. That's what he said. Greatness is serving others. He just tells us that the way to get there is to serve others. The more people who allow you to serve, the greater you will and can be. Paul said in Philippians 2:20, talking about Timothy, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus. By the way, you Bible college guys, let me say this. What's going to happen when I graduate from Bible college? And I wonder if I'm going to have a you get this. You want to get in ministry someday? You be a servant. Listen, serve your teachers and serve your bus kids and serve your bus captains and serve your subordinates and serve your coworkers and serve and serve and serve. Guess what happens? When you graduate, there will be jobs waiting for you. And I was in the last chapel day in college, and it was great. You know, finals are over, everybody's excited, and man, you can preach on anything, and they'll say, "Hey, man, they're ready to go." Oh, Bruce is done with all of his classes. Took him a long time, but don't worry about it. But I tried to serve in Bible college, and I explained to the students, "Listen, serve. If you have a servant spirit, you'll have opportunities." Number three, discover the secret of dying to self. Identify the subject of your envy. Choose to make others successful. Discover the secret of dying to self. Matthew 10:38-39. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. Please get this. The goal to become great is honorable if you want to be great for God and for his kingdom. However, it is destructive if your goal is simply to exalt yourself, your ambitions, doing great things for God requires that you first die to your own wants, die to your own ambitions, die to your own desires, and then ask God for the grace, wisdom, and resources to be effective for him and for his kingdom. By the way, mom and dad, please, I beseech you, teach your children how to be great in the eyes of God, and don't take the world as the standard. Teach them to be servants. Teach them not to be ambitious in the sense. Say, how are they going to be great? Teach them to be great servants. Number four, and I'll go quickly. Learn the skill of praising others. Please get this. The very praise that you desire is also, by the way, we all desire it. Every one of us. We all do. We desire praise. We desire a pat on the back. But get this. The very praise that you desire is also longed for by others. It is hard to envy someone you have sincerely praised. The Bible says, be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Proverbs 27:21 says, as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. So God doesn't condemn praising. God doesn't condemn giving honor. God doesn't condemn blessing people with our words. He encourages it. Realize what people really admire. And I've mentioned this before. An envious person thinks that other people admire talent, possessions, appearance, skills, abilities, when actually what people admire most is a genuine sense of love, compassion, kindness, loyalty, enthusiasm, and all the other character qualities of Christ. Rarely will you praise someone you envy. And that is the key to overcoming envy. So what's the point here, Pastor? Listen, maybe here tonight there's somebody, maybe you're thinking, a guy at work. I have a problem with envy. You know what God's saying here? Praise him. Compliment him. Usually when he gets praise and he gets compliments, you sort of turn the other way. Learn the skill of praising. Number five, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do even so to them. Matthew 7:12. Envy will not survive when this one command is fully lived out. This command is actually the antithesis of envy. It focuses on benefiting the lives of others with the same things that we want from them. There is a built-in strategy to carry out this command. Just make a list of what you want from other people and then do it for them. You say, well, I like other, we all like someone to say something nice about us. What does God say? Say something nice about somebody else. It'll help you to overcome envy. There's a built-in strategy to carry out this command. Just make a list of what you want from other people and then do it for them. The list will no doubt include manifestations of genuine love, such as acceptance, honor, respect, approval, encouragement, and support. Let me say number six, and I'm going quickly. Keep God's command. He said, if you love me, keep my commands. And please get this. Envy is a disease of the heart. Disease of the what class? It can only be transformed by a transformed outlook on life. The law of Moses was to be carried out as an expression of loving God. However, the emphasis was on carrying it out no matter how a person felt on the inside. Number seven, and I'm done. Do not cast pearls to the swine. What does that have to do with it? Look, God wants us to serve. He wants us to what class? Serve. We're supposed to be servants. How do you truly overcome envy? Truly, the key is having your heart right with the Lord. When you begin to slip and you get in the flesh, you can detect. You know, all of a sudden, you know, you're a teenager, and all of a sudden we're at fine arts. Okay, at fine arts we should clap for all of our kids. Listen, young people, if there's some boy out there, there's some girl out there, and they got the math award and you thought you should have got it, you say, Pastor, I just feel horrible. You say, what should I do? Clap for them. Clap for them. Okay? You're in the workplace, and you're like, oh, that guy got another blessing from the boss, and he's all he's ever doing. I'll never forget, when I worked in the steel mill, I used to cut steel for General Motors. We would cut steel for casket companies. It was funny. The casket companies, it was the bottom of the casket. We'd cut sheet metal and so forth. And my boss was going to fire me. And I'll never forget, I got two sermon tapes, one from my pastor and one from one of the teachers in college on how to be a good Christian employee. My boss came up to me, he said, you're too slow. He said, you're not producing enough. At the end of the day, we'd cut steel, we'd put them on the 4x4s, we'd band them, and then they go to the scale, they'd weigh it, and then once they weigh it, you put it on this paper. At the end of the day, you turn it in the boss, and they keep track of how much production you had. He came up to me and said, I'm going to fire you. I was just there for a little bit. And he said, I started applying some of these principles, and my production went up. And then one of the guys, unfortunately, I went to Bible college with, he backslid. And he started going to bars with the guys at work. Okay? By the way, that's one reason you shouldn't get too close to unsafe people. Give them the gospel, but don't hang out with them. Hang out with them enough to give them the gospel. You say, well, I'm trying to just win them. Be careful. A lot of times they win you. Okay? But the guy said, man, all this boss does is, his name was Charlie, he's a black guy. He said, now all he does at the bar, all he does is talk about you. And he says, it's good. If there's somebody you're envying and you find out they're getting praise or they're getting recognition, you say amen. You give them credit. Serve. But the key is serving. But remember this. As we serve, we need to understand that God does not want us to cast our pearls before swine. So if I'm here, and brother Kyle, he's saying, okay, the key to overcoming envy is to serve. Is to what class? Okay. So I'm going to develop a servant spirit. Please remember this. It's impossible for us to serve everybody. Do you understand that? Now, have a servant spirit and serve those God's called you to serve, your family, your children, maybe your bus kids, maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Please understand this. Don't get confused. You can't serve everybody. Give not that which is, Matthew 7:6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. Much discretion is necessary in the process of making disciples. Not everyone is ready to be discipled. Harsh reactions can be encountered as some people may seek to be discipled as means of selfish gain. Simon the sorcerer is an example of a person with wrong motives. He had used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Acts chapter 8, Simon had been converted by Philip's preaching. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." Let's bow our heads for just a moment and let's stand together.